Welcome to Prague We'll Find a Way Proguecast. I'm Jonathan Block.
And I'm Jay Valade. Today we're going to talk about Marillion. They have a long history, and John and I thought we'd just jump in and talk about our experiences with the band. I know John started out at the beginning and then lost his way at some point. But I started a little later and kept with it the whole time. My first experience with Marillion was Misplaced Childhood when I was in college, and there was a lot of press about the new Prague, and they were making headlines. So I bought the album and I loved it, and then I went backwards from there. But I kind of stuck along. Once I was in, I was in. How about you?
I recalled actually hearing them on the radio, but it was in retrospect because I think it was the spring of 1982 that they toured the U.S., but I could be wrong. But they played Toad's Place, and a friend of mine called them. Today, there's this progressive band from England, and he said they're called Marillion, and they're playing this blah, blah, blah. So I ended up going, and they played the show, and one of the songs they played was He Knows You Know, and when they played that, I was like, oh, I've heard that on the radio. So probably in the lead up to the concert, they played that song. Maybe it was the single in the U.S., I don't know. So then I heard them, and then I kind of didn't hear them again. I skipped over the album itself, although I saw them open for Rush pre-Signals, so that would have had to be 81 or 82, probably 82. Okay. Signals was 83, I think, so that would have had to be 82. They played a number of nights at Radio City Music Hall, and Marillion was the opener. But I think the first album was out. I'm not sure if Fugazi was out. And then I lost track for like a year or two, and then I got the live album, Reel to Reel, which I loved. I didn't like their early studio sound, and I know I talked about Mark Kelly's keyboards in the past in one of the episodes, but it's just too sparse, the sound. I found their sound very 80s-ish, a lot of reverb and too sparse, which is interesting because it's not like it had to be all these layers, you know, but it just felt a little sparse in spots. But live, for whatever reason, it just had more oomph to it. So the sparseness didn't matter to me.
Well, when I went back and I got those first two albums, I liked Script, but I loved the song.
Yeah.
But the rest of it didn't really grab me as much as Misplaced Childhood, because I thought that was just a fantastic start to finish. And then Fugazi, I never really got into Fugazi at all. Yeah. To this day.
Yeah.
But
it's cold. It's got a cold sound to it.
Didn't stop me from buying it.
Right.
And getting the deluxe edition. Yeah. But then from there, you know, I got Clutching at Straws.
Yeah.
And then I was, of course, dismayed that they were losing their singer when the whole thing kind of imploded after that tour.
I Misplaced Childhood, obviously, I love that album, saw them, they opened for Rush, weird opening, you know, house lights, couldn't get through the whole album because of the time constraints, really weird experience, but the album had already been out, so.
Yeah, I think you told me they just would stop playing.
Yeah, they stopped, before a White Feather or something. It was weird, you know, it was like, oh, okay, and then, you know, thanks, good night, and it was, you know, obviously they weren't happy with that either. So.
Right.
And then, like, you know, Clutching with Straws came out, and it was, like, cool, but, and then it was Fish was leaving, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that could be good, you know. I wasn't, like, too upset. And to be honest, that I kind of pulled away from both camps at that point. I saw you there. I must have gone with Jim to the whatever the first tour was with H.
Yeah, for the Season's End.
Yeah.
So I saw them a number of times for Season's End. Okay. When that album came out, I thought it was good. It was like a breath of fresh air because it was, you know, late 80s, but it was, I thought the production was really good. The songs were really good. He kind of took it. It still had that Marillion feel. King of Sunset Town really had that, the driving, the bass and guitar going, and I thought he did a really good job. At the same time, I bought Vigil, by Fish.
Yeah.
His first solo album. And I actually saw him at the Hammersmith Odeon when my wife and I were over in London. And that was great. And I love that album, too. And I was like, this is kind of cool because they're both chugging along these different paths.
Two for the price of one.
That's right. And my wife really liked H. And so we would go to see them all the time. We were the front row club that Marillion has. For those of you who don't know, the whole thing was they in the States in particular, they would go to these small clubs and people would just line up so they could get right up in the front of the stage. So they called themselves the front row club. And then Marillion started putting out CDs and they had a club, the front row club, and you would get these CDs and you'd order them and you'd have, I don't know, X number of chits and you could use them for whatever titles you wanted. And I was a part of that for a long time. And then I was like, I have just too many. I had a stack this high of CDs that of all these front row club shows, which were all great, and they were great mementos because we had seen them so many times.
But you weren't pulling them off the shelf all the time to listen to them.
No, but they'd make it into the rotation a lot, and then they went through this. This time where they were still with EMI Records and they were doing, you know, a record a year. And some of them were hit single kind of music. They went, Holidays in Eden seemed more of a trying to hit the Genesis approach of, you know, hit singles married with some, more adventurous pieces. And then they kind of said, well, it's not getting us anywhere. So they put out Brave, which was a concept album, which they didn't really tour the States for it. Or if they did, we were not able to see them. And then they did Afraid of Sunlight. That was the group of albums that they did for a major label. Yeah. And we saw them a number of times for that. And so that I thought that was really fun. But by that time, you had already kind of moved on.
I kind of drifted, you know, after Fish left. And I didn't really listen to Vigil that much. I gave Season's End a try, and I just drifted away. I did come back for Credo, the single Credo. Yeah. It's in America, but he calls it Credo. So that single I heard, I was like, ooh, I like this. And then I got a copy of that album, and I really liked it. And then I started following his studio albums. But I really liked a lot of his live albums from that period. I like the way he did the Marillion songs.
Yeah.
I just thought, like Incubus and things, I think he gave them new life, and I like that era. But all of the Fish albums, at the time, I may have been like, oh, it's not proggy enough or whatever. But in hindsight, you know, I really like, I think I told you a while ago, one time I was just going through and saying, oh, I like this Fish song, this Fish song, this Fish song. And then, okay, well, how many songs from what album? And the most songs I liked was actually from Suits. But if you ever asked me if one of my favorite Fish albums was Suits, I would say absolutely not. So, but I lost the way from him as well, too, in that whole Fellini era and that whole where it was a different record label and it just there was a dark cloud over him. Something was always going wrong. His office manager ripped him off, you know, he was going to get married and then he didn't. It was like album after album and I just it was like a lot of drama.
Yeah, and to me there wasn't a lot of change in his music.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, oh, that here's the new Fish album. And it kind of sounds like the last Fish album. It might have a different single.
I will say in hindsight, I regret that, just like how I regret the H years, because then I did go back and listen to some of those. And I'm like, wow, some of these songs were really, really, really good.
Right.
And I'm like, I kind of missed it, you know, and now they're hard to get. Luckily, they're all streaming, like the deluxe editions. But like a Field of Crows and that whole era, I just missed. And now I listen to it. I'm like, those are some damn good songs. But I did the same thing with Marillion. I was like, I completely just lost my way through the H years. And I took like a couple of weeks and I listened to every single album more than once, and then I pulled out all my favorite songs, and then like One, I think it was .com. It's either .com or Radiation. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, it's .com.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah. So I never really did that with the fish stuff. And the Marillion stuff, I've just been a fan of all the way through. But so then they went through a whole big thing with record labels. They were on small record labels, big record labels. Then after the EMI thing, they went into the this smaller record label thing, and they did the Strange Engine, and they did .com, and they did Radiation. And then they started doing this crowdfunding thing where they basically made crowdfunding up because a guy
invented crowdfunding. Yeah. Let's be honest here. And at the time, a lot of people found it distasteful. You know, they really didn't.
Well, and it was the beginnings of the internet for most people,
right?
I mean, as far as giving someone your money over the internet,
right? For they something promised in the future.
Yeah. Well, they basically said we can't tour the States. It's cost us $20,000, so we're not going to tour because we lose all that money all the time. And
there's no alcohol in this beer.
Oh,
sorry, people. I just noticed that. It's fine.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Anyways, back to Marillion.
So they they said we're not going to tour. And people over the internet were like, oh, come on, what if we raise $20,000 for you guys? And they said, yeah, sure, if you could raise $20,000. And so this guy from the States got emails and all this stuff, and I gave my $25 or whatever it was at the time. And
would he come on forums and things like that? Yeah. What was around
It was like this Marillion forum.
Alt.music.marillion or something. Whatever, yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
And I was like, it's $25. I'm just going to send it and we'll see what happens. Right. And they came over and they toured. And
you saw them on that tour?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We went to see them a couple times. And then they gave everybody a CD of one of the shows, which happened to be Rochester. Mm. And as a thank you for all the people who contributed. And
were you at that show?
I was not at Rochester. Okay. I think where did we go? We saw them so many times.
I'm sure.
In a short number of years. Yeah. I think we did Poughkeepsie.
The Chance.
Yeah, the Chance Club. That was really good.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun that they did this. And they were like, this is cool because, number one, we got to tour. We gave our fans something. And number two, we now have this mailing list of all these people who contributed this money.
And it's signed.
This one is signed, yes. It's a 2-CD, the full show.
Yeah, it's not just this. It's not just any old CD.
Yeah.
It's signed.
It was cool. But they... so then they took that to the next level after they did... they fulfilled their contracts with these smaller record labels, and they started to... ask the fans for money up front for music that they had not made yet. And so they did that for Anarachnophobia, and they said, if you give us the money, we can finance it ourselves. We're not going to be beholden to all these record companies, be they big record companies or little, and then we can get a distribution deal instead of having to, you know, get an advance and then, you know, all that back and forth with which had all the bands in those days beholden to the record company.
Right. Yeah.
So
touring, even to yeah. even for touring.
Yeah. Whatnot. So they yeah. did that, and it was great. It was like the first time that kind of thing had happened, and they continued on that model for a number of albums, and then they put one out without it, and everybody was without asking for the money up front, and everybody, and without putting a deluxe version of it, and everybody was like, where's the deluxe version? Come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, because the deluxe versions were beautifully put together, and they still do it to this day.
So they never made that mistake again?
They didn't. So far, they've just kept it, and I don't know that they need to do it anymore, but I think they do it primarily for the fan base, because the fan base really is way, way into it.
Very enthusiastic.
Yeah. So then they
and
stopped.
Loyal.
Yeah. Then without the EMI backing.
Yep.
And without, like, you know, having to ask for money to tour, they tour much more infrequently in the States, which is a shame. And you know, and because they don't tour as often, sometimes they'll be in town for like the one night and we'll be somewhere else,
right?
And we don't get to see them, so it's you know, years sometimes between. And then of course we went to the Marillion weekend,
which makes up for it. And you're going in 2025 as well?
Or is it this year? No, it's next year.
They haven't announced what they're doing yet.
Right. So that is imminent. But by the time you hear this, it might have been announced.
Okay, so we'll look forward to that. The recap, live.
But then when did you get back into them? Just more recently, right?
More recently, like I said, I kind of felt like I didn't give the albums a fair shake. And by albums, I mean the post, do I want to say Marbles? Or definitely Brave. Like, I listened to the albums when they each came out, but at the time they didn't do anything for me. Brave did not do anything for me.
Yeah.
And at that I was like, well, if this is the best they've got, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember what the next one would have been. I actually like that album.
Yeah.
Definitely there's some very, very strong songs on that album. And what came after that? When was Marbles?
Marbles was after Anarachnophobia.
Okay, so I get a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, so
mixed up. So I think Brave is probably the good cutoff point then, because then I really ignored them because Brave didn't move me. But later on, I felt like, no, I guess it worked. You could say their marketing or the way they did it worked, because I would see these solicitations for. What did they call that series where they, you know, if you'd never bought anything from them before, they're going to send you a sampler.
The crash course.
And then it went download. So I did the crash course. I got one CD, and then I think you were able to, the next, when they started doing downloads, they cleared the slate so you could do a download. So I did a download too. Yeah. And it really was the download. This was a number of years ago that I liked a lot of the songs on there. So I'm like, I didn't give these albums a fair shake, and I could get it all on streaming. So
yeah.
I started after Brave. So I started with
Afraid of Sunlight.
And there was stuff on there I liked. And I listened to every single album all the way through. And there were some that you would think are venerable, like Marbles and This Strange Engine, where those ones, there's something about it that didn't really move me. Like one or two songs where I would have expected to like a lot more. Yet, like I said, was it .com where I like the whole album?
Yeah.
You know, so whatever it's about, all the way up to the present. So now when they come out, I listen and I have a very long playlist, and I just put the ones I really like on there. You know, sometimes it doesn't work because they're out of context, but I've been listening to them again, so their thing worked. You know, I mean, it's only streaming, so they're getting that revenue, but and I like listening to the live ones too.
Yeah, and they do a ton of live releases.
Yep.
That is one thing that they are really good at. I mean, they do all these weekends that they started to do, and now they've been doing it for years and years, and they release DVDs and Blu-rays and box sets of all these weekends and their live shows, and they'll do these one-offs in, you know, like in a pub or at the Guinness Factory or something. I don't even remember what it was, or the Bass. And they're really cool. They're these great little mementos, and I love them. And you know,
and
I'm
when
a
they put, and there's a lot of those. There are a lot of them. They put on streaming too. So like, I might not be the biggest fan of Happiness Is the Road, the two set, but the tour CD that they have on there, that tour, I think is amazing. So I would listen if I want to hear those songs. I'll listen to that live CD or live streaming album because I like. Just the show. I like the whole show that they did for that tour.
Yeah. But again, they're one of these bands that I like a lot, but they have so much material now. It's like, oh my gosh, do I need?
Do you keep? But the question, I mean, you used to keep up on it. Do you keep up on it?
I don't keep up as much anymore because they release a live show like all constantly. Right. There's always a new live show.
You can stream them. A lot of them you can stream if you
want. But even so, it's like, oh my gosh. So I think we talked about it a couple times ago that I will be getting the Blu-ray of the weekend that we went to just to have it. But some of the pieces in between, I don't always. But they did this beautiful concert at the Royal Albert Hall, which was fantastic.
You have to have that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
But that's the area that you kind of pull back on from, like the studio releases and the stuff around that.
Those.
It's always that deluxe stuff. Well, it's funny with Fish, a lot of the stuff, I heard it because it was opportunistic. It was like I went to Secret Sounds, which by the way was just right around the corner from where I lived, and he would have like volume one of Fish's Fortunes of War out of four volumes, and I'd be like, what? You know, and it'd be cheap. It'd be like $5.99, so I'd buy it, and then it'd be like, and then I'd have to be like, can you get the other ones? He's like, yeah, but now those are $9.99, you know, or whatever. And I got like two of them, and I was like, oh, I don't really like this song. First of all, and the bonus stuff, oh, this sucked, you know? Yeah. Why'd I do this? And because they would do those kind of, you know, piecemeal things out. And now, just like we talked about on streaming, you can go like the Peter Gabriel thing. You can go to, you know, so many artists now on the streaming site, they have their own playlist that they made or curated that's all this extra stuff that's not part of the, you know, regular studio albums, and it's all in one place, and you're like, oh, well, thank for that, but the amount of money, and there's always a hole.
Yes, they left that one song off.
Right, because even Marillion, I remember still at Secret Sounds around the Holidays in Eden, I remember he got those singles.
He did.
And it was like, he would get all that stuff, and I'd be like, rah, rah, doing it, but I'm like, I don't know what to do with this, you know, because it's just piecemeal here, and it gets pricey.
It does get pricey. They were all imports at the time.
Yeah.
And so a two-part single that you get an extra live track on the B-side, or there wasn't a B-side because it was a CD, but as the extra track.
The second half of the CD.
Yeah. It was like, I really want that because this was before they started going into this, releasing all these live shows all the time. So I was like collecting those like crazy because I loved hearing Steve Hogarth do those Fish songs.
Right. Yeah.
You know, having him do the script and having him do Garden Party and then all the... He did a fantastic job on Heart of Lothian.
I like that sequence. The lavender sequence thing.
But then
I thought he did great.
He did the Clutching at Straws stuff.
Yeah.
Great. He did, That Time of the Night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those
circles.
Suites. I like the way, as opposed to single songs, I like the way that he did on the Fish era songs that were the suites. So, like That Time of Night, Warm Wet Circles.
Yeah.
What was the other one I just mentioned, which was the
Heart of Lothian?
Yeah, the lavender, that lavender sequence. I forget, did they do Heart of Lothian too? When they did the sequences, I always loved that. I thought that they, because the reason being, it's not just the voice for those. It was like the atmosphere.
It was
the music.
Great.
It's the same guys who made the music and the dynamics. It was always the dynamics with those songs. And his voice was so good, is so good for those dynamics, which is why live, I always liked the way he did those.
He did And
I'm not putting down the single songs, but to me, you know, that's what I would always be like, yeah, you guys are doing really, really good with this stuff.
And he was apparently into it on stage.
He totally had to be. He doesn't fake it. I mean, you can tell he's not faking it. You know, he's one person that doesn't fake it. Yeah. I'm not a big fan. So yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is a little over the top, but I think he's 100% sincere. It's not like I don't
100%.
Think just because it doesn't talk to me, 100% doesn't mean that I don't think that he is 100% real and committed to that. That's what he does, and I like most of it.
Yeah.
So, and Fish too. I think Fish has mellowed a little in his age and matured, and it's reflected in the music. I think it started, and he has a more stable home life, which in the last two albums I really like. Feast of Wow, sorry, Fish. I love this album.
It was Feast of Consequences.
Yes, that's right. Edited out that bit as I fumbled, as I clutched at straws. Yes, Feast of Consequences, I think, is an amazing album. The last one, too. There's a couple of songs on there that are longer that aren't really the ones that he put videos out on or that people pushed, yeah. Although he played them live. Waverly Steps, I think, is one of them, and there's another one. Not something, Little Man, something. Anyways, those are part of the titles. Again, I apologize, but I love it. I just think it's amazing, and I'm sorry he's not going to go on. I like that Marillion is going on, but I love it because as a musician myself, like I don't begrudge musicians, like, you know, making a living, like that's what they do. I know, yeah. You know, it's no different than doing anything else because they can do it. So why not? And they can make money at it. But, you know, even the crowdfunding, like I said, even I was like, oh, that's kind of bizarre. But then it worked, and it's like, okay, fans are easily putting money up, and yeah. You know, this is a thing, and they've been able to sustain a career, a very respectable career, on their own terms, and they're happy. Like, you can tell that they're a group of happy musicians playing together, knowing that they make a living, right? And yeah. And they have a nice business, but everybody's happy, and the fans are happy, and they know that the fans are supporting them, you know. Yeah. At the time of the crowdfunding,
I was like,
it's a big community, yeah. Right? Evident in the weekend. Like, yeah. What band would do something like that with that kind of access unless it's a closed circle? It's like, yeah, the best possible thing. Yeah. It really is. It's a Grateful Dead phenomena as well. It's that, yeah, kind of, it's that kind of community thing that, and you know that they know it. Like, oh, they don't take it for granted. And that's,
sure.
And it just makes it all the better, you know?
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to new things from Marillion. I know, yep, we don't know what they're doing next, but I'm sure it's going to be something.
And Fish has tours, a couple of tours coming in the next year. So this year he's doing a few dates, and I think last year's it. That's it. And then he's retiring from music. But I'm sure he didn't say he's not going to put anything out or he's never going to play anything. But I think he wants to focus on the autobiography and do some writing. Okay. So he's also, yeah, you know.
By the time you hear this, hopefully they will have announced some weekend information.
Marillion.
Yes, Marillion, yeah, will. All right. Bye. So I think that's it from us for today.
Thanks for joining us.
Prague will find a way.
If you wanted to.